Morning again, church. Happy Sabbath. First of all, I want to thank the youth for stepping up and helping with everything today. Definitely Pastor M. Thank you to Johnny. You guys helped me because I was all over the place this time, and they helped me get organized. So thank you so much. You know, it takes a village, right? It takes a village for raising a family. It takes a village for keeping us sane, too. So thank you so much. So today, you're probably wondering, what was Jordan thinking about a message called Praying for the Appetizer? But before we get into that, let me start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again because you brought us here today to this wonderful church on this beautiful Sabbath day. Thank you for this message that you have placed upon my heart. We all know that this message is for someone here today or for multiple people here today. May you give me the proper words, the correct words, so that I deliver this message exactly how you intended it to be delivered. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So, once again, you're probably wondering, why would I name a sermon Praying for the Appetizer? So recently I was sitting with my wife, it's been a while, a couple months ago, and we were eating out, and I realized that we ate probably like three different appetizers. We were probably already full. Most of you can relate. You're probably full with the appetizer. And then we realize we start our main course or our entree, our main plate, and we say, wait a minute, we haven't prayed. Let's pray. I mentioned we probably should have prayed for the appetizer because it was so much food. So what came to my mind at that moment was, how many times do we only pray for the big stuff or for the blessings that we deem big blessings from God? We tend to only pray for the main course. And if you were to Google, do I pray for the appetizer or am I supposed to pray? You will see the craziest things. Some people said, no, only if there's meat. So I'm vegan now, so I would never pray for my food if that's the case. So the main thing that I'm going to be speaking about today is gratitude. When I mention, are we praying for the appetizer, what I mean is, are we praying for all the small blessings we get? Are we being grateful? Are we being thankful for all these small things that God does for us every single day? Or are we only praying for the big stuff? So I want to start by just briefly reading through an article that I came across from the American Psychological Association. And I think it was something that we should definitely mention. Having majored in psychology, I tend to always find something on this side as well. So a real estate agent in Washington, D.C. spent her time in quarantine praying five times a day. And she mentioned, this whole ordeal is bringing us closer together and closer to God. Spending time praying and being with him is comforting. She is not alone in turning to her faith to weather life storms. Religion and belief are now seen by many researchers as an important way to cope with trauma and distress, thanks to research over the last three decades. Things that we already knew, but some people have to read it from other parties and other sources in order to actually consider it. That research identified positive evidence that how people experience and express their faith has implications for their well-being and health. People who made more use of positive religious coping methods had better outcomes than those who struggled with God. So what are those positive effects? Research shows that religion can help people cope with adversity by, one, encouraging them to reframe events through a hopeful lens. There's something about being close to God that makes you see things differently, makes you focus on the blessing within the troubled times. Positive religious reframing can help people transcend stressful times by enabling them to see a tragedy as an opportunity to grow closer to God. Fostering a sense of connectedness. This can help through prayer or through taking part in church meetings, church ministries. By enabling them to see, But this can also help with listening to spiritual music. What we listen to on a daily basis, what we feed our minds, our soul, is very important. Also, they help guide and sustain people through life's most difficult transitions. It is extremely important that people use their beliefs in a way that makes them feel empowered and hopeful. Dr. Plant, a PhD professor of psychology of Santa Clara University, mentioned that because it can be remarkably helpful in terms of managing stress during times like these. Religion has been helping people get through hard times for thousands of years. It's tested and ready to go at moments' notice. Just read the Psalms, and you will see that it is all about people turning to God during troubled times. We tend to always turn to God when we're in a lot of trouble. I find that sometimes we mistakenly try to have a contingency with God. God, if you do this for me, if you get me out of this, I will do this for you. What a mistake, huh? How we actually have a contingency. God, I'll do this. This is not a negotiation. You cannot tell God, help me, God, only, and I will do this for you in return. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. So a question that I want to ask, really getting into the sermon now, are you grateful regardless of the circumstances? Regardless of what you're going through, are you grateful? Are you struggling financially? Are you having health issues? Are you having issues with your relationship, your marriage? Did you lose someone that you really cared about? Many of us during this time, unfortunately, had to lose someone that we deeply cared about. But through all of that, that yes, it's very difficult to cope with these things, but we can always, always find something to be grateful for. And usually, fortunately, we tend to talk a lot about gratitude and being thankful once a year. We talk about it during Thanksgiving, right? But this is something that we should have in our hearts every day. There are many people in the Bible who had every reason in the world to be upset and heartbroken, but chose not to. There was a man, and I'm sure you're going to know who I'm talking about. There was a man who knew the next footsteps in the corridor might be those of guards taking him away to his execution. His only bed was the hard, cold stone floor of the dank, cramped prison. Not an hour passed when he was free from the constant irritation of the chains and the pain of the iron manacles cutting into his wrists and legs. Separated from his friends, unjustly accused, brutally treated. If ever a person had a right to complain, it was this man. Languishing, almost forgotten, in a harsh Roman prison. But instead of complaints, his lips rang with words of praise and thanksgiving. Who is this man? The man was the Apostle Paul, a man who had learned the meaning of true gratefulness. Even in the midst of great adversity, earlier when he had been imprisoned in Rome, Paul wrote, "Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You can find that in Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. Imagine that. Being grateful for everything regardless of the situation. This changed his life. It was the norm for the Apostle Paul, and it kept him happy. Being grateful with God for blessing us is supposed to be what separates us Christians from the crowd. We can't let our lack of appreciation tarnish our connection with God and our loved ones. Nothing turns us into bitter, selfish, dissatisfied people more quickly than an ungrateful heart. And nothing will do more to restore contentment and joy of our salvation than a true spirit of thankfulness. You guys remember the 10 lepers? They all wanted to get healed. That's what they all had in common. They all go to Jesus to get healed. They all get healed. And what happens next is unfortunately something that we still do today. Out of 10 that he healed that were begging to be healed, because of their sickness, they were separated from society. We can't be close to these people. They're sick. So all they wanted to be healed. And the person that heals them, 9 of them leave and do not even give thanks for being healed. Without exception, every leper yearned for one thing, to be healed. He restored them to perfect health, but only one of them said thank you. Wow. So a question we need to ask ourselves, has being ungrateful become the norm? Has it become the norm to be ungrateful because we always believe every day things become smaller and smaller to us? Something that used to be a huge blessing for us, we progress in life, God keeps giving us more, and then we get to a point where, you know what, I remember just begging God for a bike. Now I could care less if he gave me a brand new car. We've become ungrateful. We take for granted the ways that others have helped us. Above all, we fail to thank God for his blessings. An ungrateful heart is a heart that is cold toward God and indifferent to his mercy and love. It is a heart that has forgotten how dependent we are on God for everything. Why should we be thankful? That's something that we could all individually answer for ourselves. Why? Well, number one is that God has done everything for us. That's one of the main reasons, but we can all find thousands or millions of reasons to be grateful. We seem never to be satisfied with what we have. Now, we can thank God for the material blessings that he gives us. Of course, there's nothing wrong with that. If God gave it to us, it's for a reason. But rich or poor, healthy or sick, we never seem satisfied. But what a difference it makes when we realize that everything we have has been given to us by God. King David prayed, "Wealth and honor come from you. We give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Everything comes from you." 1 Chronicles 29:12-14. Are you constantly preoccupied with what you don't have? Or have you learned to thank God for what you do have? Thank God for the people in your life. Obviously, probably everyone here has lost someone or has realized that they haven't been grateful to those that have helped them. Some of us may have lost someone and we're at peace because we feel that we enjoyed that person while they were here. We feel that we were good to that person. We were grateful to that person while we had them here. Some of us may hold resentment, may have resentment, may have regret, because maybe we didn't treat that person the way they deserve. Maybe we didn't tell that person enough how much we loved them. Maybe we didn't hug them often, kiss them often. But you know what? If there's something that you can be grateful for, is that you're still here and you can correct that with the people around you that you still have that you love today. You may have not had the opportunity to show that person how much you cared about them, but you're still here and God is allowing you to be able to love, to hug, to kiss those people that you cherish so much. You're still here, and you can correct that. There's things that you cannot change what has already happened. But God gives you an opportunity to correct your present and your future. He gives you that free will. It is so easy to take people for granted, or even to complain and become angry because they do not meet our every wish. But we need to give thanks for those around us, our spouses, our children, our family, our friends, and others who help us in some way. Do you let others know that you appreciate them and you are thankful for them? The Christians in Corinth were far from perfect, but Paul began his first letter to them by saying, "I always thank God for you." 1 Corinthians 1:4. When a group of believers who Paul had never met came out to greet him as he approached Rome, we read that at the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged in Acts 28:15. We must thank God for those who touch our lives. We have to thank God in the midst of trials. We all have our go-throughs and troubles, but we know that he can use times of suffering to draw us closer to him. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And that was our scripture reading. Thank you, Sky, for reading it. When the prophet Daniel learned that evil men were plotting against him to destroy him, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. The Bible commands, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Paul declared, you will even be able to thank God in the midst of pain and distress, because you are privileged to share a lot of those who are living in light. Thank God especially for his salvation, Jesus Christ. God has given us the greatest gift of all, his son who died on the cross and rose again, so that we can know him personally and spend eternity with him in heaven. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We should not let a day go by without thanking God for his mercy and his grace to us in Jesus Christ. We must thank God for his continued presence and power in your life. An attitude of gratitude improves one's health and well-being, resulting in better sleep habits, as well as a reduction in anxiety and depressive thoughts. So, I want to share with you a few simple and practical tips for developing an attitude of gratitude. Because remember, gratitude is also a great defense mechanism. Gratitude is also a great defense mechanism against sin. One way that a practical tip is keep a gratitude journal or in writing. Each day, write 3 things for which you are thankful. Just 3. You may find yourself writing a lot more. Send thank you notes. We have some people here at church that, I know Jeannie has done this. Send a thank you note. Even if you don't want to actually write it, just make sure to express that communication with someone. Tell other people thank you when they do something kind for you, no matter how small the deed is. No matter how small. If someone did something kind for you, just show them appreciation. Let them know that small detail made an impact. Create a gratitude culture. Are we teaching our children at home, our family, the people we love, are we teaching them to be grateful, leading by example, being grateful for everything? Let's create a culture of gratitude in our household. Build gratitude around you daily. Show unexpected and undeserved acts of love to someone each day. How about that word, undeserved? We get, every day, I strongly believe that most of the things that we get every single day, we don't deserve them. But God still grants us so many things. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. And of course, the number one is pray. But sometimes our prayer is just another shopping list. We ask God for so many things, yet we forget to thank Him. You ever get so caught up in your prayer asking God for so many things? God, please, can you do this? Can you do that? A few of you may have been driving through the highway and prayed for those Mega Millions and you didn't even play, but you prayed for a minute. God, if you'd give me that $1 billion, I could do so much for you. Sometimes our prayer is just another shopping list. It's a shame, and I can relate to it to myself. I can apply it to myself. How many times I'm just not grateful. We strive for so much. We always want to do better, and that's okay. It's okay to do better. But it's not okay to get lost. It's not okay to get lost in the things that you want to have and forget that we're supposed to be preparing for eternity here. But we focus so much on the life we're living here as if this were eternal. This is probably the shortest life we're going to live. So the question is, are we preparing for eternity? Or are we just focusing on our life here? And it's so easy to get lost now. The thief of joy, comparison. We used to love everything we had until we saw what our neighbor had. Wow. Man, I thought my car was great. I thought our family was great, but so-and-so. And comparing. Just, God gave you the family He gave you for a reason. One of the things I ask myself all the time, instead of, I tend to wake up some days and ask God, why am I here? Why did you place me in this particular part of the world? Why did you give me the privilege of living in this free country? What purpose do you have for me being here? Am I fulfilling the purpose, or am I just cruising? Why didn't my mother give birth to me in a third world country? Why are we here? Why did you give us the privilege to be here where we're not persecuted and we can actually stand here and come to church today and not have to be looking out the window worried that we're going to be executed? Why are we here? So I pray to God that He guides me. And whenever I see a brother or sister in Christ or see anyone that's suffering, I tend to ask myself, God, why am I not suffering right now? What am I supposed to be doing right now for this brother, for this sister that is suffering? What are you trying to teach me by not making me go through this? Please help me do the right thing. Become a better person. Become more like you. In closing, I want to share a story, since we're speaking about gratitude. There was a woman once that hated her job, and she reached out to the secretary of a famous speaker that she felt inspired by him and begged the secretary to get her an appointment with this speaker because she felt that he could help her with her problem. So the secretary speaks to this speaker. He's always very busy. But right before one of his speeches, he said, you know what? If she shows up 10 minutes before we get started, I will talk with her. I just have 10 minutes, but I'll speak to her, and I'll see how she believes that I can help her. So she comes to him, and he says that she was just He could see her from across the stage, and she was just pouting the whole way walking towards him. He said it was probably the angriest person I've ever seen in my life. And then he asked her, what's going on? And she starts griping of how she hates her job and that she's miserable at her job and they don't appreciate her and just saying all the negative things in the world, just focusing on everything that she dislikes about her job. So he looks at her and says, well, it's about to get worse, he told her. She said, what do you mean? She's thinking he's gonna give good news. Well, it's about to get worse. Why? Because I'm pretty sure they're going to fire you. And she says, fire me? Why would they fire me? I'm not the problem. They should fire everybody else. Well, if you stay with that attitude and you create a toxic environment, they're going to fire you. They're going to fire you. And she said, so all of a sudden, that job that she hated had a lot of value all of a sudden. There's something about when we're going to lose the things we complain about, they start looking a lot better. When you complain about that car because it's all beat up, and then we say, okay, you know what? There's no public transportation where you live. I got a bike for you if you want to go to work in a bike every day. Well, wait a minute. All of a sudden, that beat up car sounds a lot better. So she asks, what can I do? I don't want to lose my job. I mean, I hate it, but I don't want to lose the job. So she, and in her mind, she's not the problem. You ever notice that people who are the problem never recognize that they are the problem? They are in complete denial. They think denial is just a river in Egypt. So it took a second for that one, huh? Notice how when you're about to lose something you have been complaining about, it takes brand new value. So she then asks, like I mentioned, what she can do about it. He said, step one, pull out a piece of paper right now. She said, for what? Just pull out a piece of paper. And write down right now one thing you like about your job. She said, well, that's easy. I don't like anything about my job. Oh, really? Okay. She went on and on. He said, let me ask you this. Do you do volunteer work where you work? Are you a volunteer? Do you not get paid? She said, of course, yeah, I get paid. I said, well, let me ask you this. Do you like getting paid? Of course. There you go. That's one thing, right? I want you to write it down on that piece of paper right now. She was refusing to. So the speaker looked at her and said, you know what? 100% of the time of anyone that I've spoken to, if they're not willing to take step number one, they're never going to get to step number two. Write it down right now. So she was mad, took it, and she wrote it. Had a conversation, and with a continued conversation, she ended up having 22 things on that list of things that she liked about her job. The benefits, she realized she was getting paid above average, and so on. So the funny thing is that after she did that, she realized that she had become more grateful. She wasn't just making a list of what she liked. She was actually writing everything that she was thankful for with her job. Month later passes. She goes back to the speaker and says, you won't believe how much those people have changed at work. I'm getting along with everybody now. They've changed so much. When honestly, all she had to do was change herself. See, a lot of times we want to change everybody else instead of realizing that the best thing we can do just change ourselves, because we can't change anyone. So, in closing with that story, the main thing that I wanted to do today is just give us a reminder. And no matter how bad it looks, how bad we think things are, we should always be grateful. And being grateful and focusing on the blessings that God has done for us will allow us to continue on His path. Amen. Amen.